The following program is brought to you in living color.
Why don't we try my wine?
Well, I've never been interested in domestic wine.
This isn't exactly domestic. Well, you like it, don't you?
Well, I'll tell you, Tom, it's not really bad.
Tom, did you spend more than 50 cents for this?
50 cents for this? You mean you don't like this wine?
Say, I got a good mind to return it and make them give you your money back.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the wine, all the time. Everything you ever wanted to know but were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We're your resource. We're the ones to tell you what to drink, when to drink, and how to drink it, and then tell you why not to. Kent, I got to ask, nice new opening there. Did you pay more than 50 cents for that opening?
Fortunately, no.
Very, very cute. What is that from?
The movie is The Devil and Miss Jones, and it's about a guy who goes undercover at a department store to find out what the employees are really up to. So he tries to impress them as an employee, and he goes to some gathering, and he takes a bottle of wine. It's really expensive, you know, great wine, and they don't get it. They think it tastes awful.
That makes perfect sense.
Oh, well, I know, yeah.
It's kind of like that reality show they have now, what, Undercover Boss?
That's right, exactly.
Okay, perfectly. See, there we go. I'm tying everything in with my own version of reality. I like it.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, that is a problem. It is something that people find that... It goes hand in hand with what we talk about here on the show. Drink what you like, not what you're told. But a lot of times when you start getting into some of this very, very expensive wine, some of the French Pliny Montrachets, some of these old Burgundies, some of these mustier wines that can run $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 a bottle, people don't like them. And then all of a sudden it leads to this whole fascination that wine is difficult to understand because, well, if this bottle of wine costs $1,200 and I don't like it, well, obviously, I don't like wine. If I don't like the best there is, then I have no palate. And that's part of the problem in the wine business, which is why hopefully you're listening to this show, is so you realize if someone ever serves you a glass of Le Montrachet at $1,200 a bottle and you don't like it, it's not the end of the world. It's a certain type of person like those things.
It begs the question, too, have you ever done that? Have you ever served a bottle of wine that you were sure everybody was going to like because they should and they didn't?
That's an interesting concept. I've served bottles of wine that were expensive because I liked them. I have used bottles of wine that were expensive at a tasting. But usually if I'm serving a bottle of wine that's expensive, I'm doing it in a blind tasting. And the reason I'm using that expensive bottle of wine is to prove to people that the inexpensive wine can taste good as well.
Yeah.
I tend to screw with people. My friends and the people in my circle, they cringe every time I say I'm going to do a wine tasting because they know that there's going to be some expensive wine hidden in brown bags and there's going to be some inexpensive wine in those brown bags. And they're going to freak out trying to tell the difference because they're supposed to know about wine.
And all it is Laura messing with people again.
Yes, that's what I live for. Yeah. But no, in all sincerity, for those of you who want to have phone blind tastings, say there are, I'll talk to the middle segment of listeners at this point. Those of you who know enough about wine, have a little disposable income that you want to teach others. It is amazing. I have sat through probably at least 40 blind tastings, and the tasting's intent is to launch a new brand of wine. Now, the new brand of wine, they're going to put in a brown bag, and they're going to put alongside it what they consider its competitive elements. Whether if, like, say we're launching a new Napa Chardonnay, people will put Cape Bread in a brown bag. They'll put Groth in a brown bag. They'll put Farniente in a brown bag. And then what they'll do is they'll slide this little bottle of wine in. And what's interesting, and this is where I wish some chemist would stand up and start doing some research, is as people taste through these wines, all of a sudden the less expensive wine scores well and tastes well. Because after you have that first sip of the expensive wine, it's usually been very fine, it's filtered, or on that case it's had a lot of expensive oak put on it. There's a lot of different techniques that were involved. It's the inexpensive wine that doesn't taste manipulated, it doesn't taste acidic, and it really shows well. So keep that in mind when you're doing blind tastings. It's very, very easy to make an inexpensive wine taste good. Just depends on where you put it in the sequence. So there's your little education today. If you're feeling like being sneaky and manipulative, I'm here to help. I know all the tricks.
You got the tricks, yeah.
Yes. All right, speaking of wine, I'm sorry I have rambled off course. We have a great lineup today. As we get through the show, you're going to realize this. I am totally over the pond today. I am over, literally, the wine business in the United States. I've got a lot of great dumb news stories for you that just makes me shake my head and think, as much as I give the French a hard time and as much as I give Italians, it's too diverse. Man, sometimes we do things in this country revolving around wine that just make no sense. So today, I am focusing anywhere but here. So we're looking across the pond. In that case, my wine recommendations this week. This is something new and different for me. I know I usually do Chardonnays or do white wines, but today for my white selection, or at least my lighter selection, I'm going to do a rosé. And this is from Provence. It is Jean-Luc, J-E-A-N-L-U-C, rosé, Côte Bleue. That's C-O-T-E-B-L-E-U-E. I think so. My spelling, I'm not known for spelling, I'm known
for
wine.
Doesn't even sound close, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know. We'll give it a shot. Anyway, this is a rosé wine. That means that it has been made from red grapes, but it hasn't been in contact with the skin that long for it to change colors on you. It's made from Mourvèdre, it's made from Syrah, a couple other little grapes, but it's really refreshing. Great spring wine goes well with spring outfits. We did that show once about what wine goes well with what clothes. You look great, whatever you're wearing, when you're drinking a glass of rosé. Taste of peach, of rose petals. Has a little bit of pepper on the nose. And then when you taste it, you have raspberry, you have cherry. And I can't identify, there's a savory component to it. Someone said it was salty. Someone said it tastes like olive juice. I don't know what it is, but it keeps it from being cloying and sweet, and it just is really refreshing. It just gives you that nice, wonderful flavor without the sickly overberry flavor. So your rosé suggestion for this week is Jean-Luc, Côte Bleue. I believe we're on 2009 vintage. The red wine, once again, I'm still staying over the ocean. I've developed a fascination about New Zealand lately. They just seem like nice, great people. There's no great upheavals. There's no great politics going on over there. Yes, they do have a lot of excess wine, but it's definitely showing well. Wild Rock Pinot Noir from New Zealand. Really great package, great concept, very value-oriented. This is out of the central Otago region of New Zealand. And once again, we're back on the berries, but this is a good berry when it comes to Pinot Noir. Sometimes we can get too dirty, we can get too earthy. This is totally not that. You get all the berries. You get strawberries. You get blackberry. You get raspberry on it. But you also get this pretty floral flavor, aroma, balance to it that tends to bite into the sweetness. If that's not enough, there's a little herbaceousness on the end, almost like a thyme or a rosemary. This is great. If you're going to grill pork, if you're going to grill lamb, if you're going to grill one of the pinker meats, this is really a perfect pairing. And neither one of these wines are going to break the bank. You should find both of these in your local Mega Mart for under $20. So there you go. We went to New Zealand. We went to France. I'm going to do anything to stay out of the States today. That includes our guest. We have an interesting guest today on the show. We are going to Spain for that. We're going to Portugal for that. We have Mr. Antonio Franco. He is the president of José Mara de Fonseca. Once again, this is Portuguese wine. I do apologize. But he's the person behind the Twin Vines wine, and I recommended this, I don't know, about 6 weeks ago. They do a Vino Verde out of Portugal that is really refreshing, really good, great balance. So he's going to talk to us a little bit about the still wines in Portugal. I think this is undiscovered country. When you say Portugal, people automatically think of ports, and that's a shame because some of the drier style wines they're doing are exceptional. So, looking ahead to the show, it was fun trying to put things together, and I realize I do get stuck on California and the States often, but it's just home, it's comfort, and it's what we tend to find in our stores, it's what we tend to trip over. But ultimately, with the dumb wine news we have this week, I will start this one because this was entertaining. Wayland man attempts to smuggle wine in his pants. And this is out of Wayland, Massachusetts. A man was caught on camera grabbing a bottle of wine, walking to the middle of a liquor store aisle, and then sticking it down his pants. Police say this is not the first time a robbery like this has happened. The same man is allegedly wanted for two other wine thefts from the same store. Now, this wouldn't be so interesting. I know we're going to go ahead, automatically get in our head that this is the bum in the long trench coat sitting on the corner with a scraggly beard. No, the wine the man is sticking down his pants are expensive first growth Bordeaux's. So these wines run, $200, $300, $400, $500 a bottle. So this is not your average bum holding out his cup on the side of the road. This is a guy who apparently has very, very expensive Bordeaux's. Bordeaux taste without which he probably cannot survive. Hmm. So it's always interesting to find people desperate enough. If you're going to go in and be stealing wine, you think about how destitute you might be. But on the same token, if you're going to go in, man, go for the top. Steal the Bordeaux, steal the first growth, make some money out of it.
Might have gotten away with it if he hadn't popped his cork and wined his pants or something. So.
Oh, Kent. Yeah. Kent. But no, it does lead to an interesting conundrum. Where are we in our grand economy when the idea of these upper class who got so used to this refined taste of wine, when they finally acknowledged it, are going in to steal it? I mean, that almost puts in a nutshell my feeling about the wine industry right now in the whole states, because there's a lot of insane stuff going on. Anytime you pick up the newspaper, you can read about all the different shipping laws. You can read about the different gluts that's coming out in Napa Valley, the different juices, the different actual arguments over definitions of wineries, whether we can ship wine, whether we can't. And it does get frustrating. So this ought to make the rest of you out there feel better. I get as frustrated as you do when it comes to wine, whether it's knowing what I'm supposed to know, not knowing what I'm not knowing, or just sitting back and looking at the laws and wondering who's really thinking of these laws, who's creating them, who's doing these different things. Interesting news story, and this is coming out of Napa Valley, and they're talking about the newest problem in Napa, and it's a moth. Now, we've gone through a whole bunch of different bugs. We've gone through a whole bunch of different, whether it was phylloxera, whether it was the sharpshooters. Now we have a moth that they've decided is going to rampage through California wine country. Now, my question is, as we look at as much ground as we're ripping up, as we look at as much of our environment we're trying to take up, and the fact that we're trying to go back green. Now, keep that in mind as we talk about this. We want to become green. We want to become one with the environment. We want to be biodynamic. We don't want to use any chemicals. We don't want to use any kind of sulfur-based items. And they're surprised that this moth, which is natural to the area, is expanding. It is actually increasing its numbers and is starting to eat grapes. Now, you have to step back and think about this for a second. They've decided that the biggest calamity that's coming into California wine country is a moth. Now, this moth has always been around. It's just because of all the expansion, all the construction, and all the civilization in California, it hasn't really been predominant. But now that we're going back green, the moth is coming back and eating the grapes. Somewhere, somehow, there has got to be a great solution to this. But ultimately, if we're going to go back to our roots, we have to be careful what we're going to find there. We're going to take a small break right now, but when we return, more of your questions, more of your emails, and of course, more of my vivid commentary.
Check out winecrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and that song is just a great lead-in to my soapbox at this point. Copperhead Road, yeah, we'll all be down there for it's over with. I was talking earlier in our introduction about some really dumb wine news that's leading me across the pond today. One of it is a bill that went in front of Congress yesterday. It's otherwise known as H.R. 5034, and we've joked around about this on the show before, but this bill directly is linked to shipping. Wineries direct shipping to consumers. And Bill H.R. 5034 is going to have congressmen saying that, no, we can't do direct shipping. We have to regulate alcohol. We have to regulate anything that's going through the mail. And no, you can't do that. You want to know the main reason they're thinking that, no, we shouldn't be allowed to ship alcohol? Because it's going to lead to greater drunkenness and to underage drinking. I don't know how many times we have to speak out against this on the show. This is not what this is about. There's absolutely no reason that little wineries in California should not be allowed to ship wine to wherever they want to. We are not talking about people who are going to go around the three-tier system and sit at home and order 200 cases of wine. Nobody's going to want to pay the postage on that. On the flip side of it, for the last time, this is not some 17-year-old that's gotten a hold of their mother's credit card that decides they want to drink a case of Beringer White Zinfandel next week, so I'll go ahead and order it from the winery. Ultimately, we're looking, I think we said on last week's show, there's 7,100 wineries in the United States. There's no way all those wineries have representation in every state around the country. They should have the right and be allowed to sell their wares on the internet, through direct mailings, on mailing lists, however they want to. They should be able to be allowed to survive. If their product is good, then yes, they should be allowed to go to the public at large and say, hey, do you want it? This direct shipping is not going to kill anybody. It's not going to hurt anybody's business. It's only going to help the commerce in these wineries. And as we have wineries in all 50 states, it should be allowed that these wineries should ship to whoever they want to. Yes, you should have to be 21. Yes, if you notice these boxes, for those of you who have ordered wine, if you ship it from UPS, FedEx, anybody else, there is a very large sticker that's on the top of these boxes. Must be signed for by someone that's 21 years old. The UPS driver is not going to go to the door and let some bubblegum popping 16-year-old girl sign for these packages. It is simple common sense. So, for those of you interested, it's all over Facebook. It's all over Twitter. It's everywhere. HR 5034 is going to be the bill. They're going to try and once again regulate you into what you can and what you can't buy. And in this case, they're going to regulate what you can and can't drink. For those wineries out there that you love, you can only get from direct shipping, go protest. Call your congressman, call somebody and say, if I want my wine shipped, I should be allowed to. It's just a basic right all the way through. So, yes, that's something that has me all fired up today. But yet there's another one. You know, it's bad enough. You look at what the government does and we complain about government and taxes and regulations. But then you go look at individuals and you think they are just as stupid as everything else we're dealing with. This comes from the California Coastal News. And long story short, there was a letter written, a letter to the editor written by Dario Satui, the owner of V. Satui Winery. And in his letter to the editor, he proceeds to criticize the wage and benefits package of North Bay firefighters. Bottom line is, this was published in the St. Helena Star. Satui writes, while I respect the work they do and the inherent dangers, they are greatly overpaid, work only 2 days a week, the third of which they sleep and get to retire at 50 years old at 90% of their pay after working 30 years. If you're a firefighter and your sole goal every morning is if an alarm goes off to walk into a burning building and to save human life, more power to you. My hats go off. That's where my respect is. I don't care what you get paid. I hope you get paid as much as our teachers. I hope you get paid at the top echelon because ultimately you're protecting the public. And so for the fact for a winery owner to speak out against firefighters, once again, it's not just our government that seems to have nothing between the ears. Some of these winery people you have to worry about. Okay, so there's my soapbox. I know Kent is glaring at me in the booth saying this is supposed to be a call-in talk show. Stop doing that. All right, so right now I do have an email. The email is from Karen in Connecticut. And Karen writes, what are rosé wines? I am seeing them in a lot of bars these days. Are they from Pink Grapes? Well, you had a very good timing on that. We'll go back to my wine recommendation at the top of the segment, talking about Jean-Luc Rosé. Rosé wines are made from red grapes, generally, that have not sat on the skins, meaning you can make a rosé from any red grape you want. It just only has to stay on the skins 12 to 18 to 24 hours to get that lovely pink color. Karen, I hope that helps. And if you're in a local bar that's serving a rosé wine, you are definitely in a hip spot. We're going to take a small break right here, but when return, I promise this time I will get to your calls and emails.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch, increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts? American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a million-year-old beach? between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. I hope you're having as much fun today as I am. Kent's laughing because I'm all fired up, but now at least it seems we're going to have a voice of reason joining us. We have Antonio Soares Franco. He is the president of Jose Maria de Fonseca from Portugal joining us today. Antonio, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I am outstanding. How are you today?
Sorry. I just arrived from Europe. I managed to cross the ashes of the volcano, and here I am in the U.S. selling some cases of our wines.
Well, we are delighted to have you in the States, and of course, it's great to have you on the show. We've talked in the past about some wines from Portugal. Twin Vines has been one of my wine recommendations in the past, but I think a lot of our listeners don't have a total grasp on the fact they think Portugal, and automatically they're thinking one of the port houses.
Yep.
Tell our listeners a little bit about the Still Wines and tell them about what a great 7 generation you have in the business.
Oh, thank you very much. Listen, we are the oldest table wine company of Portugal, celebrating this year 176 years. I'm the 6th generation. A couple of my children are already working with me. And hopefully my grandchildren one day will also want to join us. We do all sorts of different wines. Reds, whites, rosés, and dessert wines, Setúbal Muscat. We've been, as I said, around for several generations. These wines, we've been selling these wines in the U.S. since the 1940s. For some of your listeners, I can mention that our number one brand has always been Lancer's Rosé, which a lot of them probably know.
Oh, yes, I think everyone at some point knows Lancers.
Yes, someone has at least dated around the bottle of Lancers.
Exactly, if nothing else with a candle stuck in it.
Yeah, at one point it was the number one imported wine in this country. And now we are launching, for the last 2 years we've been launching Twin Vines. Twin Vines is a tribute to my twin granddaughters. Vinho Verde first, and now we have a rosé, dry rosé. And also, our other wines that we have in this country are Periquita. Periquita is the oldest table wine, red table wine grape or brand of Portugal. We celebrate this year 160 years. It's a tremendously successful wine. It's the best-selling Portuguese red wine outside of Portugal. We sell a lot of cases out in many, many countries, and we are doing a big effort here that to make it as big a success as in other countries. So besides Periquita, we now have Periquita Red, Periquita White, and now we sell in the U.S. two more brands of red wines. One is called Domini from the Douro. We have the normal Domini and the Domini Plus, which is a very high-end wine from very old vines. And we are about to launch Setúbal Muscat. Setúbal Muscat is one of the three top, I would say, the three iconic dessert wines from Portugal. Port is number one, Madeira is number two, Setúbal Muscat is number three. Our company has the good fortune of being around and worked with Setúbal Muscat for many, many years. We have very old inventories of older vintages, of which one just won 100 points from the wine enthusiast, from Robert Parker.
Ah, that always helps with sales.
Yes. So it's the third time that they give 100 points to a Portuguese wine, and we are very proud of it. So this is all to tell you in a brief story what I'm here for. I'm here to helping promote our wines in a lot of stores. I'm now in North Carolina the whole week. I've been in New York a month ago, and I'll be back for other states in the near future.
Well, they definitely have you on a hard travel schedule. Question for you. Obviously, coming from Portugal, it has a great history. Those of us that are in the know about wine know about Portuguese wines. What do you find is your biggest setback or the most biggest obstacle to overcome when talking about still wines from Portugal?
Well, I think, first of all, not that many Americans know about Portugal, unfortunately. Portugal has a very big tradition in winemaking, I would say thousands of years. It's one of the first countries of Europe producing wines. But unfortunately, we've been drinking much more at home than exporting. So,
hey, that sounds like all of us to begin with.
Most Americans know best rosé, or I would say ports, number one, then rosés, for those of them that know of Lances. And now Portugal is making a big effort, relaunching its reds and whites, and trying to build a name and a reputation for the name Portugal. We have many, many acres of vineyards. We have thousands of wineries. And we have a big advantage. As a niche market, people are probably too tired of drinking just Cabernets and Chardonnays all the time. Portugal has about more than 200 original indigenous varietals from its own country. And if we can work well, there are varieties that are really world-class, and that some of them, we see them being planted in California, we see them being planted in Australia, and so soon, probably Portugal will have a different presence in this market. We are very positive. We think we have, at these tough economic times, Portugal presents tremendous price points, opportunities, quality for price. We have very good proposals, and so I think at this point, it's the time for Americans to start looking at Portugal with a much more defined, a much more interested attitude. It's tough to convince retailers because retailers mostly do not have the space. Retailers most of the times classify Portugal under all others or under Spain, and we are not Spain. We are independent from Spain. We are older from Spain as a country. We are much older than Spain. But unfortunately, retailers need to clarify that. Retailers need to help us and start defining a little Portuguese section that little by little will grow, and we are very positive about that.
I think it will, too, and I think it's interesting. You know, I think automatically retailers are not. They pick up the bottle and they see Douro, D-O-U-R-O on it, and they say, oh, it's Spanish. They don't take the time to take and realize that it's Portugal.
Yeah.
So it does make it difficult. You mentioned, you mentioned coming to the States. We love the fact that someone's being an ambassador from Portugal. If you had one sentence that you wanted to tell all of our listeners about Portuguese wine, what would it be?
Great value for money.
You can't beat that, especially in this economy. Well, it means a lot that you're taking time out of your busy schedule. I know they're running you ragged through the country. But, Antonio, I appreciate you being on The Crush today. And hopefully this can be the start of a great land swell to get Portuguese wine on everyone's table again.
Okay, dear. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I wish you all well for the program. And thanks for supporting wines. And
absolutely, Antonio. Thank you very much.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
All right, we're going to take a small break here on The Crush, but when we return, we're going to actually look at some more news and, of course, take some of your phone calls from the wine line.
Visit winecrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is The Wine Crush.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Microlubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Microlubricant? Well, it's the only pure microlubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max. Z-Max, added to your oil and your gas tank, can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro-lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max micro-lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Mozartoasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and we were just speaking with Antonio Soares Franco. He's the president of Jose Marco de Fonseca. It's interesting. I think a lot of us, when we talk about imported wines, Of course, we talk about Spain, we talk about Italy, we talk about Germany, and of course we can't forget our neighbors down under, New Zealand, Australia. But you have to admit, when you start thinking about imports and you think about wines that are made abroad, Portugal doesn't come to mind until you start thinking about dessert. They've made a great job with Vino Verde, actually getting into the market, making people try wines. But Antonio is right. I think all of us, you know, especially a certain age group for some of us, Kent, of course, is a little bit older. When we think of Portuguese wine, we think of Lancers. And there are some amazing values out there. We'll have to dedicate a show to that one day and actually go over and investigate all the different things. The only thing I will say this, if we decide to do Portugal, we're going to type all the great varietals out on the website so that y'all can actually see how they're spelled once I totally butcher their pronunciation.
Yes.
Yes. So, of course, as always, we do want this show to be about you. It does not just have to revolve about me and my opinions, contrary to popular belief. So to do that, we need you to reach out to us. You can reach us at 877-4-CRUSH-1 and drop a call on the wine line. Or you can email me directly at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Or, of course, if you want to go to our website, winecrush.com. That is so easy for me to say. You can send us an email directly from there. We encourage you to check out the website, check out the blogs, give some commentary, because there is certainly a lot to comment about these days. Well, we do have a couple brave souls that decided to call it the wine line. So right now, let's go there. Right now, we have Ashley from Pennsylvania. Ashley, welcome to the Crush.
I was just wondering, in your opinion, what should I be looking for this spring and summer? Is there anything new that I should just absolutely have to try?
This spring and summer, well, there's a lot of interesting things. I am shocked I found a chance to talk about rosés three times in one show and didn't mean to do it. But definitely at least try one rosé this summer. Definitely go out of your way. Just because it's pink doesn't mean it's sweet. Definitely something you should look at. The Vino Verdes from Portugal are also something you should go out of your way and look at. Vinhoverde. These are green wines. That's literally what they translate to. They tend to have the acidity of a Sauvignon Blanc, but they have the body of a Chardonnay. So they're the best of both worlds. I think when you're looking for things this summer, though, value is going to be the key. We're going to see a lot of new wines coming out of California. We're going to be seeing a lot of wines from around the world come out. But I am still stuck on trying the Rhone varietals. I am still stuck on trying the things from the Southern Rhone area. Roussan, Marsan, Viognier. These are these strange, funky white grapes that you look at it on a label and think, I'm not going to order that because I can't pronounce it. That's why a lot of restaurants have BIN numbers. You can always order by the BIN number, and it's perfectly acceptable to do so. But it helps you branch out and try different things. I think also you should try a family of wines. I know that sounds silly, but a good example, Beringer Wine Estates. They do probably six different tiers of wine. And what's fun at doing this is you can get an idea of the kind of commitment to quality they do if you try their wine that sells at $5.99, the wine that sells at $7.99, the wine that sells at $12.99, and take it all the way up. What'll be an interesting task on this is you can learn about what you like in a wine style and what you don't, because the same winemaker makes this wine from generally the same region, same grape, same area. So you can learn about the regions and learn about styles and still have a comfort level with it. As far as just strange, far-out grapes, there is nothing on my horizon that I have seen that's bizarre, but I am seeing some great packaging and some great thought put into a lot of wines. Once again, as I've said time and time again, the next 6 months is the best time to be a wine drinker. I would definitely go for the value wines in the sense of these wines that you usually see at $35, $40, and $45 a bottle that are selling for $25 and $30. Make an effort to try them. They are definitely worth the effort, and they were expensive to begin with for a reason. So I wish I could say, oh my God, you have to go pick up a bottle of this rosé. This is what you have to have. I can't say that this year. There's too many neat little things out there, and there's too many great values to pigeonhole it like that. Best advice I can give you this summer, spare your pocketbook, find the discount bins, and find those off-vintage wines. You're going to have a lot of fun trying that. So I hope that helps, and good luck shopping in Pennsylvania. I know that's one of the control states that's fighting with Congress right now, so we can have some fun with that. All right, for those of you feeling brave enough to call the wine line, give us a call, 877-4-CRUSH-1. And right now we have someone who has done that. We have Kathy, and Kathy is from, Wyoming, I think.
I was just wondering,
if you needed to have a wine rest after it's been shipped, if you order it through the mail, didn't know if it would be ready to serve or for anything that you needed to do before you either gave it as a gift or opened up the bottle.
Well, Kathy, your wine needs to rest. If it actually flew itself there, its wings might be tired, and you hate to have a tired wine.
Aren't you glad you called, Kathy?
Yes. Well, I've been so kind to our callers lately. I don't know what's with my mood. Kathy, it's interesting that you knew the correct term for that. Resting. Wine does need to rest. It's kind of funny. We make a policy for those of us who stay on the dark side of the wine business, that when a shipment comes in from overseas or something has been air freighted in, we try and let it rest in a warehouse or we try and let it rest in the store, generally for about 2 weeks. There is something, for those of you that remember the movie Bottle Shock, there is a technical term for this. And if a bottle has been shaken up, bounced around, beat up a little bit, the esters can actually break down. And when they break down, you won't get as much of aroma. It's not that the wine's bad. There's nothing chemically wrong with it. It's not like it's corked or it's oxidized, but it's just literally broken up. I mean, think about what jet lag does to us. Imagine if we were stuck in the cargo hold of a big ship or in that airplane. Imagine how happy we would be. Yeah, your wine's not too amused either. If you think about it, there are three evils when it comes to storing wine or making wine go bad on its own. Number one, of course, is light. Number two is heat. And number three is movement. Once again, that goes back to all of you that have the little wine rack on top of your refrigerator. One, your refrigerator gets hot when it runs. Two, when it's running, it tends to vibrate. And number three, it's usually closer to the light at the top of the kitchen. So no, bad. Take it down now. Same concept holds true with resting your wines once they come in. Yes, give them about 2 or 3 days. You'll be happy you did. We're going to take a break right here, but when we return, we're going to wrap up this show and see what interesting things the next few weeks hold.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 3517. 800-203-3517.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. Hi-hi-hi-hi-hi-hi! Hi-ya! It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit InventNow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
You're listening to The Wine Crush, and I'm Laura Lawson. And yes, I am fully aware that I have been a bit of a harpy today, but it ought to go to show that even people that truly know about wine and who immerse themselves with it can get as frazzled as you do. It does happen. So yes, I have tried to look across the pond, but let's face facts. Anytime you're in an industry that's like a commodity where things change daily, it's going to get hectic and it's going to get a little bit overwhelming. And that is the best advice the Wine Crush can give to you. It doesn't matter whether you're starting with your first bottle, if you're on your 100th bottle, or if you're like some of the rest of us and on our 100,000th bottle. There is so much that goes into that production of wine that you have to understand what goes on behind it is going to impact so many different levels of society. Whether you're buying it at your mega mart, whether it's worrying about whether or not the production is green and a moth is going to disappear or come back, whether it's worrying about the people who are taking care of the winery with our friend at Visa 2 Week criticizing the firefighters, or whether it's the government trying to step in and tell you what you can and can't drink. Something this impactful in everybody's life is going to come up day in, day out. And so whether you're frazzled by not being able to get your wine shipped or frazzled by being green, there's always an aspect to wine that you can take. People who say that they don't drink wine because it doesn't affect their day in and day out life, it's funny. It's what do they call it? The 6 degrees of separation or the Kevin Bacon effect. Somehow, some way, there is a little bit of wine that impacts all of us. And the best way we can see to get through that, of course, is to drink more of it. If you drink more, it will all go away. But a special shout out today. It's been nice thinking about something besides California. I do very much respect Antonio Franco for calling in. It's great to hear a different perspective. And of course, it gives us a new avenue to find some great imports and to find some favorites. And I do encourage you, go out, try a Vino Verde, try Perquita, try and find the Portuguese wines that aren't necessarily ports. It will definitely be worth your while. Well, we've got an exciting summer coming up on The Crush. We'll be doing shows on the Derby. We will be helping you find your favorite foods. We will help you find great guests and great places to go. A show I'm very much looking forward to do is we're going to do a little travel section, and we're going to tell you what wineries to go visit and what's the best place to relax and unwind with a glass of wine. Well, as always here in The Crush, we have fun talking with you, but we do have to take a break from time to time. So right now, we remind you to sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll speak with you next week.